Ira, disasters like mold are a huge problem, and you have to turn to a licensed mold remediation specialist, not just some mold guy or, oh, they handle mold. No, a company, Florida's Elite Restoration, who understands mold, deals with it every day, and is a true expert. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That's where you go to learn about what to do next, which is to call them 24/7. They'll come out and give you a totally free assessment. Whatever disaster is at your home, storm damage, flood. Floods are horrible. Water damage is brutal. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And you just, when you call, you mention the Sage or Joe Bucks fan. And if you eventually need their services, Ira, they give you $500 back. Maybe that's toward your deductible. Maybe that's just cash back after you have them restore your property. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Josh Martin, the owner, big Bucks fan, big friend of the Sage. And he has 14 years in the insurance business. He knows how they rip you off left and right, and he protects customers all over the Tampa Bay area. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. No mold at the Sage's house.
Steve, it's amazing that proud sponsors on this podcast, they always got these initiatives going. They're very creative. You know, Bill Curry Ford and the Big Storm and Josh Martin, they got tremendous initiatives, and people should take advantage of them. Yeah, yeah.
Bucks fans, the playoffs are upon us on the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the man himself, the Sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, the custodian of Canton, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. He's knee-deep in study with his Hall of Fame prep for Rondé Barber, and we're excited, Ira. But first, we have a football game, the Bucks, the Cowboys. Exciting time, Sage. I know our listeners, I think it's okay for me to say that you were hanging out with Todd Bowles again this week. Just the Sage and you know, no microphones, no nothing. A couple other important people there, but the Sage has been a busy guy. And there was actually a moment there, Ira, where your phone rang and it was Brett Favre. How about that, Ira?
This week is a damn whirlwind, Lee. It's a whirlwind. Of course, we got the big game Monday night. Will the Bucks season advance or does it end? Could this be Brady's last game? Could it be his last home game? All those questions. Then, of course, I've got the Rondé Barber call. My son Sam turned 37 in the middle of the week. So add everything up. And Steve, as far as what you were saying about spending time with Coach Bowles and Brett Favre, Lee, I try to leave no stone unturned on this Hall of Fame stuff. I try to put the work in. And then you let the chips fall with 48 other voters. You never know what they're thinking. I try to do my due diligence. And I did meet with Rondé Barber over at One Buck earlier this week. And Lee, as Rondé was coming through the door, literally, of the media room, Brett Favre was calling me back on my phone. I had left a message with him the day before, voicemail. And I reminded Brett Favre that he helped me quite a bit with my Warren Sapp presentation. Now, Lee, that was 2013. This is 2022 or 23. And he called me back as Barbara's coming through the door. And I put him on speaker, Lee. And I said, hey, Brett, Rondé Barber just walked through the door. And those two started having a conversation. And Rondé said, what's going on, Brett? How's your golf game? How's things in Mississippi? And they start chatting, and I was trying to get a word in edgewise over here, Lee, because I'm trying to get stuff I can use and you know, write down what Favre's got to say about number 20. It all worked out. They had a nice conversation between them. Favre gave me what I wanted. Yesterday, I got Mike Tomlin replied to me on an email, gave me some useful stuff. And then, Lee, I got an audio file from none other than Tom Brady, which started off, hi, Ira, and then gave me exactly what I wanted about what made Rondé Barber such a unique player. And the quote from Brady, incredible durability, incredible production. Now, Lee, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but if you have incredible production and you have incredible durability, there ain't much else to be said, Lee. There ain't much else. You did it for a long time, and you were great for a long time. Do I need to add anything to that, Lee?
No, I do have a question, though. You know, you're talking about your whirlwind week. Are you allowed to say who you had a sit-down with? I think it was Monday or Tuesday?
Well,
a rare sit-down?
Well,
if not, that's okay. I don't want to destroy anything, but...
Well, I wouldn't call Rock Riley a heavy hitter, Lee. No,
that wasn't Rock.
everybody has cooperated. You know, Derek Brooks, I got to say to our thousands of listeners from Guam, you know, to New Zealand and all points in between, Derek Brooks is a tremendous asset to the Bay Area. I mean, his hands are everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He helps everywhere. His office is in Amalie Arena. He's working for Vinick. He's got the school, you know, which has been very successful. And he's been a huge asset for me. Once Brooks got the gold jacket, he turned his attention to helping other Buccaneers. I mean, that's the way Derek Brooks is. So he was very instrumental in Tony Dungy. He helped me with John Lynch. And now, you know, for 2 or 3 years, he's going heavy on Rondé Barber. I want to talk to Chris Carter. Lee, a year ago, he got me Chris Carter. In fact, he called him in advance and told him what I wanted to talk about. This year, he's working on Charles Woodson. I can't thank him enough. I don't know who's happier when a Buck goes into the Hall, that person and their family, or Derek Brooks. He's that kind of guy.
Oh, wow. And, you know, I've been thinking about this for some time. I've never even mentioned on the podcast. Ira, is it fair to say that the impact Brooks has had on this community, not just the Bucks, but the community, very similar to Leroy Selman?
That's a good point, Lee. Beloved figure. Beloved figure. And I remember when Leroy passed away, it was a huge story. I mean, a huge story. And Lee, to your point, not just because he was a Hall of Fame defensive end and not just because he was the first draft pick in franchise history. It went way beyond that, Lee, way beyond his, and it was involvement with USF and just the different charities and the community. And he was an icon. And Derek Brooks absolutely, Lee, has picked up that mantle. And, you know, Derek Brooks could live wherever he wants. He chose to stay in Tampa. That means something.
Yeah, icon, I think, is a perfect word, Ira.
All right, Sage, we got a football game coming up here. We talked a lot in the last podcast about the offense and Leftwich and players and their performance this season. And I have some more defensive questions for you this time, Ira. And, of course, we'll get to our picks and some other things going on at One Buck this week. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. That means something, Ira. Just like, you know, you talk about Derek Brooks being beloved and Leroy Selman. The name Curry means a lot in this town. 62 years, family owned, still a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And they do so much philanthropy in the community. Curry Cares. They've got all these active charities and the many dozens. And all the info's at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan, our draft guru, he's available for fans to reach out. However you choose to do it, he will help you personally, guide you, give you the Ira Kaufman discount. And there's many other promotions going on at Bill Curry Ford, where they've got the nationwide lifetime warranty on used vehicles, new vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, shop for a vehicle online, in person. And what better thing to do would be to buy a new truck before the Bucks win on Monday night. Then you can drive around town waving your flags. BillCurryFord.com. We thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Stock up. It's in stores. It's at the tap rooms. There will be no watch party at Big Storm for Monday night. They're not usually open then, but they are encouraging everybody to celebrate with Big Storm, of course, responsibly. And plenty of takeout food and packaged goods at the tap rooms. You can find them all at BigStormBrewery.com. Try the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, the top seller. It is that good. BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, on the defensive side of the ball, I got an important question for you here because it's really a big untold story of the season. Todd Bowles, blitz-happy guy. Absolutely blitz happy. Bucks led the NFL in blitz percentage last year, 45.5%. Going back to his days with the Jets, blitzed a ton. Arians, blitzed a ton. Big part of the philosophy. This year, I don't have the exact total, but I'm just doing the quick math. They have dropped significantly. They're around 27%. So they went from about 25 to 27% on the blitzes. And that's a huge jump. They're right middle-ish, you know, maybe 12th in the league in that category where they were always number one. And Mark Schlereth, who called the game for Fox on Sunday and shared that gem from Byron Leftwich regarding, you know, how Leftwich says, hey, don't knock the running game. We were bad last year, too. That was just one of my favorite quotes of the year. But Schlereth was on FS1. And he came out and said, hey, look, he didn't say Todd Bowles told me, but you know how this goes. He started talking about how Bowles is cutting the blitzing because he no longer has an offense capable of making up for a high-risk defense. So, you know, when you can't counter a quick strike, if you get burned and you don't feel that, hey, you know what, if we get burned here, we're down 13-10, no problem, because we're going to score at least 28 points today, then that changes your defense. He believes that since now that it's the end of the year and the offense has had a little bit of a revival and defense is getting guys back healthy, that we might see the old Bucks defensively, no risk it, no biscuit kind of thing, which is what they're best at. What do you make of all of that?
Man, that's a lot to decipher over there, Lee. I mean, it's pretty intriguing. Lee, to base your defensive philosophy on how many points do you think the offense is going to score? I don't know if I buy that, Lee. I think Bowles blitzed extensively until this season because he thought that fit his personnel at the time. And you know what, Lee? It was very darn effective. It was very darn effective. And you can't argue with it. And Steve's right. The numbers have fallen off markedly in terms of blitz percentage. They have. Which is interesting to me, Lee, because you're playing much of the season without Shaq Barrett. So if I told you that, I think you would imagine that you would send, you know, your safeties more often, or Devin White more often, if you don't have Shaq Barrett coming off the left edge. So it's kind of befuddling in that respect. What remains true, Lee, is that this is a pretty darn good defense, whether you're blitzing 45% of the time or 27% of the time. It's a good defense. I think it's as good a defense as Dallas has. I think the Cowboy pass rush is better, but I think the Bucs have a better secondary, and I think their interior linebackers are better than Dallas. Maybe they don't have as much of a game record as a Micah Parsons. I'll give you that. But I don't know if I'm buying Schlereth's main focus there, Lee, is that Bowles is basing this whole thing about how many points he thinks Tom Brady's going to put on the board. I don't think Bowles thinks about like that. And Lee, the fact remains, the Bucs did not get beat very deep very often when they blitzed extensively. Not very often. People didn't go over the top on the Bucs very often, unless you were Cooper Kupp. Right, Lee? Cooper Kupp.
No, and he did that to everybody.
And he did it to everybody. So, look, what they're doing right now is working. In my opinion, it's working. There were a couple of hiccups. The Chiefs. Well, you know what, Lee? The Chiefs scored more points than anybody in this league this year without Tyreek Hill. That's no shame on the Buck defense that they got ripped up. So did the 49ers, Lee. The 49ers got run by the Chiefs in San Francisco. Couldn't stop them. So let's not berate the Buck defense because Kansas City had its way in that game. And they did. And, you know, there were a couple other slip-ups. But by and large, Lee, I got no problem with this defense. They seem to be healthy. And I think they're going to play very well against Dak Prescott on Monday night.
Well, part of it is Prescott's playing lousy. And their offensive line is beat up. And there was a guy for The Athletic that tried to make the contention that since Dallas' center had a sprained ankle, that ever since then Prescott's been lousy because they've been getting pressure on him up the middle. I don't know about that, but that's what this guy claims. It sounded all right. As far as Bowles, I mean, I'm not a film guy. I guess I could be if I wanted to be, so I'm not going to pretend I know what I'm watching when it comes to the NFL and this blitz and that blitz and this this stunt and that. I'm not going to do it. However, having said all that, if Bowles did adjust, I applaud him for that, because to me that's a mark of a good coach. He adjusted. He figured, okay, you know, if you listen to Schlereth, that they can't score, and well, they can score. You know, well, they average 18 points a game. The Bears, yep. The Bears and the Redskins are scoring more points. Believe that? And if Bowles realized that and adjusted his defense accordingly, I want to high five the guy. That's smart. And I don't know if he's doing that or not. You know, I can only go by what Schlereth said. I would hope Schlereth, in the position he's in and the people he comes into contact with the Bucks, isn't pulling a snow job on people. So if he's accurate, I applaud Bowles for that, because to me, that's a mark of a good coach, a guy that adjusts. Not that, you know, on Monday, we're going to do this, come hell or high water, we're going to do this. No, he adjusted. I think that's a good thing.
Steve, I got a little defensive wrinkle that I think's worth talking about for a minute, Steve.
You going to blitz the buffet on Monday night?
I want those Cuban sandwiches
I said that in the media room today. I said, you're so irked about the Cuban sandwiches, and you're not wrong either.
Sage,
we can't bark too much because it's the food's gratis, so we got nothing to say. You might be right, Steve. Now, Steve, remember the Bengals game and Jamar Chase came to town? Now, look, the Bucs lost the game, and the Bengals had a big second half, but that's the Bengals. I mean, they're a really hot team, really good team. Nobody would be shocked if the Bengals are back in the Super Bowl. Nobody. So Carlton Davis took it upon himself. I don't know if the directive came from Bowles, Lee, or it came from Davis towards Bowles, and Bowles mulled it over and said, okay, I'm down with that. He took the pride and shadowed Jamar Chase. And Lee, he played his best game of the year. Bucks didn't win the game, but don't pin it on Carlton Davis. So here comes the Cowboys, Lee. Now, I look at the Cowboys. I see C.D. Lamb. He's very good. He's not as good as Chase, but he's very good. Mm-hmm. I don't see the guys around him that the Bengals had.
Thank you.
And, Lee, could we see Carlton Davis talking to Bowles this week saying, Coach, I'm up for this challenge. I think I've earned your trust. Let me try to shut this guy down. Lee, I don't see a lot of other options downfield for Dak Prescott. I don't see them.
I absolutely agree with you, Ira. Bowles asked about that, and he kind of hemmed and hawed and said, well, there's a lot of other factors involved. But if I recall correctly, Bowles' first year here, 2019, wasn't Carlton Davis pretty much exclusively lined up against the number one receiver for the opponent?
I think he did it all the time in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, remember when DeAndre Hopkins was hot as fire? He came into Tampa Bay and he basically did nothing. It was a Saturday afternoon game.
Yes.
And Davis was on. Davis was guarding him. 100% agree with that. It's a very valid point, very smart point. You know, the Cowboys really don't have anything outside of C.D. Lamb. I wouldn't call C.D. Lamb, you know, I heard you're all-pro team and you nailed it. So I wouldn't put C.D. Lamb on all-pro with Jefferson
I put him on the second team.
He's second low.
Sage, the Bucs finished with 45 sacks, which was tied for seventh in the NFL, which is obvious.
I believe Dallas had 54, Steve, 54.
Yeah, absolutely. Dallas had 54. Good number for the Bucs. You know, impressive that they were able to cut the blitz and still get those numbers. But I don't know. I thought it was a very interesting concept. One thing that Bowles said couple of years ago, and he may have actually said it when we had him on the podcast back in June, is that or maybe it was a side conversation, I don't know, but he basically said every few years, you got to change your defense. You got to make some significant changes, otherwise...
Yeah, he did say that, Steve.
Otherwise,
teams catch up with
they're going to catch up to you, and you just have to do it. So here he is, fourth year at the Bucs. This obviously may not have been the change he was hoping for, may have been dictated by personnel, like you said, Ira, but... You know, for all we know, he wanted to blitz more this year, but things happened and guys got hurt or whatever. But it is interesting, and they've had a lot of success. I wanted to ask you, Sage, about Levante David. Just straight up, Ira, 11 years in, he had a good year this year. He's healthy going into the playoffs. Definitely has an opportunity to, impress on the big stage here where he was hurt last year in the playoffs. He went in, he said he was about 60% playing on that bad foot last year. You think he's back next year? I mean, obviously, they're going to pay Devin White, who's due about $11.5 million on the fifth-year option. And is Levante David going to get some sort of finish-your-career contract, or do you think they're going to say goodbye? Where do you think that stands?
Lee, I think it's a tough one. I looked at him. I see Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner, great, great player for Seattle. Who knows? He might wear a gold jacket one day. He might. He was in a Super Bowl. He won it. He was in the next year. He lost it. Great player, but you know what, Lee? At some point, Seattle says we're moving on. We're moving on without Bobby Wagner. And, of course, what happens? Seahawks make the playoffs anyway, and that's because Pete Carroll's an underrated coach. But that's another story. Levante David, Lee, I'm going to tell you what the intangible is for me. Normally, I'd say 11 years in, I'm moving on. I'm moving on. Great player, probably Ring of Honor player, Lee, one day.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But I'm moving on. But Lee, here's my intangible. Here's my unknown. And I've heard some people say this, some people that are in the know. Lee, having Levante David on the field and in the locker room, it has a calming effect, a soothing effect, and sort of a teaching moment effect on Devin White. And yeah, I'm a little worried, Lee. I'm a little concerned that beyond you know, the football impact, what it would be like for Devin White not to have Lavonte David around. Am I off base there, Lee?
No, I really believe from what White has said in the past that Lavonte David, I guess you could call it, he's Devin White's sounding board. He's like an emotional support. Like I saw someone had an emotional support python on a plane. I'm not making this up. You know, what they call emotional support dogs, emotional support cats. Some guy had an emotional support snake. I'm not saying Lavonte David's a snake, but you know what I'm getting at.
He's a consigliere.
Ira, you're making Devin White sound like a mental patient or something that he needs. Needs that, and I get what you're saying, but he's going to be a fifth-year veteran, Ira. He's a captain now. He's got a lot of respect among the teammates, and I guess if you think they need somebody like that, a veteran around him to keep him in line-ish kind of thing, they could always get somebody else, a guy who doesn't have the same cachet as Lavonte David, somebody who might cost $4 million instead of $11 million. But you think he's gone?
Well, Steve, to me, the biggest question regarding Lavonte David's future, and I'm positive about this. The rest is conjecture, but I'm positive about this. If Tom Brady is back next fall in Tampa, I got to keep Lavonte David. I got to keep him. I got to keep him on a one-year deal because you figure Brady won't be here past one more year. If they don't get Brady and they don't get a veteran quarterback, I'm sorry to say all bets are off in that regard, whether it's Trask or whatever. And then I'm moving on without Lavonte David. And that's just the way of the world. It happens all the time. Lee, in the words of the great Bill Walsh, who told me one day in like 2006 when he visited One Buck Place at the invitation of one John Gruden, and I got 15 minutes alone with the incomparable Bill Walsh. And the one thing, Lee, that I'll always remember from that conversation, I said, what's the key to sustained success for a franchise? He said, Ira, you get rid of a guy a year too early rather than a year too late. That's what you got to do. It's business.
Just to be clear, Ira, you're not proposing they get rid of Lavonte David. You're just looking at it from a business standpoint. There's a salary cap the Bucks have to deal with. They're going to be in a pinch with the salary cap. Lavonte David is going to be 33, I think, in 2 weeks. It's just, you know, for every Tom, well, there's no, you can't compare it. But the Lavonte's getting up there in age where linebackers rarely don't have their skills don't diminish.
That's right.
So it's not like you don't want Lavonte David back here. You're just looking at it practically. You know, it's the salary cap. He's not going to be cheap. They're going to have to pay Devin White. And there's a lot of factors involved.
So, Sage, I'm going to give you a choice here. Donovan Smith turns 30 before next season. He's got a ton of mileage on his legs. Offensive linemen don't usually last as long. And he is due $15 million next year. Would you rather have Donovan Smith at 15 or would you rather have Lavonte David at 12?
If I had to pick between the two of them, I think the left tackle position takes the priority. I do. Donovan Smith did not have a stellar season. Let's be honest. He did not. But he had two very good seasons before that. He's durable as heck. It takes a heck of an injury to knock him out of the lineup. He's more than serviceable. He's not top five, but he's not bottom 10 either. And by virtue of the position, Lee, I got to go with the left tackle.
The great Gil Brandt always said the three most important players on your roster, number one quarterback, number two pass rusher, number three left tackle. He said, you got to have those three if you're going to win. This year, hasn't Donovan Smith missed the most games of his career?
I believe he has, Blake. I believe
and
he has.
And like Steve said, he's turning 30.
Yes.
Do you think, you know, guys that turn 30, they start getting injury prone. You think Donovan Smith is stepping into that twilight zone?
I think it's premature to say it, Lee. I've got to see a little bit more of an example. It's not like he missed seven games this year. It's not.
Yeah, he's been hurt on and off all year. Started with the season opener. And
I don't like some of the penalties, Lee, that he's committed. I don't like the fact that he's been distracted by some personal issues. You know, I believe in the Brady doctrine. You got to leave everything at the door of one buck place. It's not easy. It's not easy. But you are paid to be a professional. And for the 3 hours on Sunday and for the practices, you got to keep your focus on football. I understand the humanity of the situation. We don't know exactly what Donovan's been dealing with, but it's hard. But it's something you have to do. I'm not ready to turn the page on Donovan Smith quite yet.
Here's, and I'll just say this about Donovan Smith. I'll use my favorite Raheem Morris quote. I'll tolerate you until I can replace you.
I don't see anybody better on the roster now. Lee.
If Brady goes to Miami.
Yeah.
Does Levante go home and follow Brady too?
I think his preference is to stay in Tampa. Like, I think he likes it here. Franchise has treated him well. We'll see if they ante up for him. But Lee, if Brady goes and the Bucs don't replace him with a veteran, I think Levante's out the door. Out the door.
All right, Sage. But I want to look at the defensive line. Now we've seen the stat out there. Bucks are 6-1 when Keem Hicks and Vita Vea start, and that's a strong number. You know, it sort of plays into what they envisioned, and stopping the run means to this defense that is a good secondary. But do you think we see more of Vita Vea in this game? You know, maybe they extend him out a little bit. He does only play a certain amount of snaps. It's not supposed to be hot at all on Monday night. It's supposed to be cool, actually. And Hicks is healthy. He was even rushing off the edge in this game on Sunday, got a sack, was all happy about it. Do you think we see some sort of extra time for these defensive linemen, keeping in mind that, you know, they like Will Golston against the run and other guys? Obviously, we're not going to see much of Logan Hall. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But also in the last two games, we've had Joe Tryon-Shoyinka and Anthony Nelson playing off the edge every snap. What do you think we see from that front?
I want to see more of Nelson, Lee. Not more of him. I mean, I want him to continue to get those snaps. Lee, the guy's got a knack of making plays. And, you know, they're not teaming with playmakers up front. Golston's solid against the run, but he's not a playmaker. Akeem Hicks, I haven't seen him do enough to be called a playmaker. You know, Nelson seems to have a knack, Lee, to be around the ball. Now, Lee, let's talk about this run defense. Now, in the biggest game of the year, which was the Panthers game, and they came in off a 350-yard rushing day, Carolina did, against Detroit when they destroyed them, the Bucs were pretty stout against the run. I didn't think Carolina tested them enough in the run, but the Bucs were stout.
I know, you talked about it on the entire first half.
I did. You're right, Lee.
What's wrong with the team? Well, what am I missing here? Why is he running the ball? Why he needs to get the ball more to the running back? What am I missing here?
I can't say in all honesty that's why Carolina lost the game. It's not. They had a lead, 14-0, 21-10, and they blew it. They blew it, and the Bucs did enough to come back. But Lee, my main point is this: in terms of the Buck defense and the front, I'm not totally confident about the Buck rushing defense this year. Lee, I'm not. I think it's very, very up and down. I think it's been very erratic. There's been games when it's been very good. Now, look, I'm not going to use the second half of the season finale against Atlanta as an example because they didn't have any regulars in. Forget about that. But, Lee, we watched them every week. Sometimes the rushing defense was stout, and sometimes it was suspect. Too many times, for my taste, it was suspect. So am I going to say that Pollard can't run for 110 Monday night and Elliott can't score a couple of touchdowns on the ground Monday night? I can't say that. I need Vita Vea in there. Hicks is coming off maybe his best game of the year. But, Lee, I'm a little concerned, generally speaking, about the Bucs' rushing defense. By the numbers, it has dropped considerably from past standards.
Yeah, I guess you could say that's partly because Sue's not there. Sue was such a run stuffer. And, you know, I've written this a couple times before. I think Steve's getting sick of reading it. But when Vea and Hicks are on the field, the defense plays so much better. Much better. Steve, I don't know if you heard Ira on Russo's show.
I did.
Wasn't it funny that, and Ira, I'm poking fun at you here, Ira is so in love with the run game. I mean, he's always about the run. I don't know how you brought up the Chiefs, and you're like, I don't run the ball. Yeah, they're the best freaking offense in the National Football League. They got a whole lot of new quarterback. You're grumbling about the run game? Ira.
Steve, you know where I get that from? From every week sitting at a table with Derek Brooks. For whatever reason, and of course Brooks comes from a defensive standpoint and a great one. You know, of course, student of the game. Steve, he talks about it all the time. You got to run the ball. You need the play action. You got to take the pressure off the quarterback. You can't have Brady throwing 45 times. He says it all the time. And I think I just absorb it every week, Steve. And then I try to make it my own. But you know what? Brady threw 45 times in 2020. Brady threw 45 times in 2021. And Brady threw 43 times in 2022. That's what Brady does in Tampa. And if he's here next year, you know what, Steve? He's going to throw it 42 times next year.
Yeah, I mean,
hey, I got a question for you. We're dealing with Brooks. And I didn't hear, if you did, I didn't catch it. But there was a clip on Twitter of you and Brooks on that show.
Right.
And in that clip, you know, you mentioned how, I don't think the Bucks had one first down in the second half against Atlanta.
They did.
And now, granted, it was, you know, it was like a preseason game. It was a mop-up. But Brooks said something that I couldn't believe Brooks actually said this. It's like, whoa. He said he feared that was an example of the post-Brady era Bucks offense.
He did say that. He did say it. I was a little surprised he said it. Now, look, they made wholesale changes. And
yeah,
you know, Mike Evans isn't going anywhere, and Chris Godwin's not going anywhere, and Tristan Wirfs isn't going anywhere.
Lenny's probably coming back.
You know, and Lenny's probably coming back, and Jensen, you know, probably be the center next year, and Shaq Mason. But you're right. Brooks did say that. I think he was a little appalled at the second half performance. And, Steve, I don't really care who's in there. That's unacceptable.
Yeah,
Steve,
you've got to have
that's
a better
effort.
Yeah, it's not even
unacceptable second half.
Totally unacceptable. I've seen better play in real preseason games, you know. But I wanted to slap Brooks when he said that. I think that was totally misguided, and I'll tell you why. Because if Tom Brady's not here, we all know Byron Leftwich won't be here. And if Byron Leftwich isn't here, there goes the Bruce Arians offense. We'll have a totally different offense with totally different players, and it won't look anything like it does now. And so I don't even think that was fair. Why wouldn't it maybe be better? I mean, I've seen Bucks teams without Tom Brady and all these stars score 21 points a game. So I think, you know, it could be a lot better without Tom Brady and in a whole new setup. Not doesn't mean that I would trust whoever that quarterback is to win in the playoffs and be a clutch guy, but the offense could look a hell of a lot better without Tom Brady next year.
Well, I'm not willing to go that far, Steve, because Lee, if Kyle Trask is under center, I mean, are we going to think they're going to average more than 18 points a game?
They did.
I mean,
they did with Mike Glennon.
At the risk of sending tens of thousands of Bucks fans into a uncontrolled rage, I'm convinced if Kyle Trask is starting, the Bucks are tanking.
Interesting. Interesting. They still got a lot of good players, Lee. They got good players.
They put up 18 points a game in 2013.
Steve, I'll say it again. I'm going to say it once a week on one of our podcasts until next season. I'm going to do it. And if I don't do it, you better remind me. I'll say it again, Lee. One of these years, they're going to draft and develop a quarterback that's going to make them relevant for an 8 to 10 year period, just like the Chiefs did, just like the Bengals did, just like the Bills did, just like the Chargers have done. They're in the playoffs. They won 10 games. Lee, at some point, you got to do it. That's what teams do.
And you and I going to live to see it, Ira?
Lee, I can't believe it. This team has been operating for close to 50 years, and they've never done it.
You're right. In that time span, even the Bears had Jim McMahon.
I mean, it's unbelievable, Steve. It's absolutely unbelievable.
I hear you, Ira, but the last two Super Bowl winners picked a quarterback up off the street. I don't think you have to do it that way, but it would be certainly damn nice to see it finally happen here. It would almost be hard to believe, but it would be damn cool.
But Steve, the Rams can't sustain. They can't sustain. I'm talking about being relevant over a 10-year period. That's what I'm saying.
Sure. Anyway, Ira, last thing before we hit the picks, And we remind everybody, BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, the Ford dealership you need to go to. Shop online, BillCurryFord.com. Mark Dominic was on Sirius, and he's their draft guru, and he co-hosts, and he was talking about the Bucks, and he's a Bucks fan, Ira, and I pay attention to Dominic because he hired Mike Greenberg, who was dropping some gems on... He was dropping some gems on the Buccaneers radio network. I'll share them next week. But Greenberg, you know, is Jason Light has referred to him as a real GM. And Dominic worked with Shelton Quarles and others and scouts in the building. So he cares and he has a pipeline in there. And he was talking about, hey, the Bucs are frustrating, this and that. But he made it very clear that from a personnel standpoint, a quarterback standpoint, and a player standpoint, they're good enough. He didn't mention coaching, and he just basically went on to say he doesn't think it's the roster and that they've been a huge disappointment because the roster is good enough, and he still thinks, looking at the roster, resetting it, that, you know, looking at the roster, he still thinks it's a 12-win team that should have won the division by three games, and it didn't happen. How do you think fans, and we're going to poll them at JoeBucksFan.com after the season, but just from your take now, Ira, how do you think most of the fans view the roster? Do they feel like it was good enough or is good enough as we get into the playoffs right now?
I think they're very much in tune with what Mark Dominic said. Lee, can you talk about coaching any more than that without mentioning the word coaching? Lee, I mean, that's what he's saying, Lee. It's a 12-win team based on personnel, and they went 8-9. I mean, Lee, what else is there? Injuries, yeah, they had injuries. You know, it wasn't horrible. It was more than we've seen the last few years. Some were bad. There's no question about it. Shaq Barrett was bad. That's a tough one. But, you know, Ryan Jensen, it was bad. No question about it. He sets the tone up front. But the other teams go through it. They do. You're going to be injured. You're going to have injuries. So I think he speaks for Buck Nation to a large degree. I don't think a lot of Buck fans are looking at this roster and saying Jason Light has done a terrible job in the draft in the last 4 years and free agency in the last 4 years. Now, Lee, I'm the first to say Jason Light's offseason this year wasn't very good in 2022. The draft, we'll see. But at least as far as the rookie class, they didn't contribute much. No real impact. No real impact. Steve said he was going to mention Logan Hall. He hasn't mentioned him yet. So, Lee, you might as well mention Logan Hall.
Well, we talked about Hall Sage. I was just going to mention that Bowles himself was on the Buccaneers radio network, and when he was asked about the run defense in this last game, he pretty much said everybody played pretty well except for Logan Hall, and said that he needs work, needs to get in the weight room in the off season, but they like they like where he's trending, and blah blah blah. But basically said he needs to get in the weight room, and he looks for good things in the future. That was pretty telling, Ira. What do you make of that? Your top pick in the draft, number 33 overall pick, top of the first round. It's the end of the year, and you're sort of saying he's got some physical work to do.
It's disappointing. Now, look, you might say, well, it's a second round pick. It's not a first round pick. But, Lee, you still expect things out of the 33rd pick. You expect contributions. Lee, that's not too much to ask for. You didn't say the guy has to be an immediate starter. You didn't say the guy has to be an impact player. But, Lee, you got to contribute. That's the expectation. I don't think that's too high an expectation for the 33rd pick in the draft. And the Bucs, for whatever reason, didn't get that. And I think, Lee, there were times, to be fair, with injuries and different assorted combinations, that had Logan Hall shown more, Lee, on the practice field, He would have got more snaps on the practice field, or the few opportunities he got in games. Lee, he would have got more snaps, and he didn't.
With Logan Hall, what is kind of, I don't want to go overboard here, but what's disappointing, and it's not a good sign if you ask me, but his snaps just dropped off the map as the season grew older. That tells me he wasn't progressing. He wasn't advancing for whatever reason. You know, usually rookies, you know, they struggle right away. And after a few games, they start getting a little better. He was the opposite. And you can't tell me he hit a rookie wall in October. I mean, come on now. That sticks out to me. That as his rookie season progressed, his snap counts decline.
Ira, do you remember when you hit the rookie wall during Watergate?
Stevie, we don't close the book on rookies after one season. We don't do that.
That's
we're never going to do that. But, Steve, if we judge him on the first year, the guy gets a failing grade. I mean, what else are you going to say?
I don't know.
I also remember, Ira, when you're saying, hey, the 33rd pick, you should be able to contribute. What before the Bucks traded out of that pick, they looked at who they thought would be available, and they thought there would be three defensive linemen, and any one of the three they were good with. So that's why they traded back. So they basically targeted him. If you want to say that, they targeted him. Okay, we can trade back, we can still get him, and we'll be happy. Like you said, Ira, we're not going to throw in the towel on a guy as a rookie, but. Not good. The signs are not good.
Sage, I'm not giving him an F. I'm giving him a D+. Just didn't want to go along with your grade there. Not giving him an F. Played every game. Showed a little bit. I'm not giving him a straight F.
I didn't give him an F. I said he didn't get a passing grade. That's all I said.
You said he got a failing grade. I mean, come on. That's what you said. I wrote it down with my pencil right here. Failing grade.
Semantics.
All right. Well, the time has come for us to make the picks on this game here. What I want, Ira, Lee, I'd like to get the score like we always do, but tell me who's going to shine or who's going to crap the bed, and we'll put a number on it. And before I ask you, Ira, I just wanted to ask you one quick question. Win or lose, on Wednesday, Byron Leftwich is available to be interviewed for a head coaching job. Ira, do you think Bruce Arians has enough pull with his buddies, Jim Irsay and Michael Bidwell and anybody else around the league that he knows? Does he have enough pull to get Leftwich an interview?
I believe he does. Now, the next word in the vocabulary should be token. Token. Is it a token?
That's a damning word. I know where you're coming from.
So that's the question. Is it a token interview or is it a real interview? We don't
know. And for people who may not know, you're referring to the Rooney Rule.
You hope for Leftwich's sake that it's not a ruse and it's not a game. And if they bring him in, it's a legitimate interest. But I do think, Lee, that Arians knows enough people. And I think Arians is super motivated to promote Byron Leftwich. I think it's genuine. I think he's got a passion for it and mission accomplished with Bowles. And Leftwich is up next.
I just want to make sure that I'm not on hallucinogenics here. Steve, did you actually say the Colts have an interview set up with Leftwich for the head coaching job?
No, I said under NFL rules, as early as Wednesday, the first day, a coach on a playoff team is eligible to be interviewed for a head coaching job if he played on Monday night. So if you played on the weekend, it's Tuesday. If Monday night, it would be Wednesday. So that's why I was asking.
So my answer is that Arians has enough pull to get Leftwich into a building or two. I think he does.
I guess you saw what Leftwich said earlier this week in his weekly schlock session, which I gave up on back in November. I just can't deal with it anymore. He claims the reason why the Bucs are in the playoffs at the robust record of 8-9 is the coaching.
Put that in context, Lee. How did he say that?
It was one of the reasons he gave was excellent coaching. He was basically pat, and he said in all phases of the game, excellent coaching.
Offense, defense, special teams, direct quote.
Jesus Christ, I mean. I mean, it's hard to follow up on that, Lee. I mean, I hope Jason Light had a beer in his hand when he read that, because, there's always that conflict between did the coaches get the most out of the personnel. Steve, isn't he basically saying that the personnel is 6-11? I mean, well, what's going on here? Coaching. I mean, Lee, I've lost track of how many things this guy said that's absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I know. And to be fair, I think Bowles has done a decent job with the injuries. So if he was just talking about Bowles, I would agree with him. Then he said offense, defense, and special teams. And special teams, outside of the kicking game, it's been a clown show for too long.
Oh, boy, Steve. Oh, boy.
We did grade the coaches, Ira, just for anybody who didn't catch that early in the week. Sage gave Todd Bowles a D. I gave him a C-. Lee was hovering C-. Are you still sticking with that, Lee?
Yeah, I'll give him a C.
So, Sage, what order you want us to go on these picks? How do you want to handle it?
I will go third, Mr. Isbitz.
So who do you want to go first? Who do you want to go second? Come on.
I just said I will go third.
I know. Who do you want to go? Who do you? You got to pick first and second as well.
Oh, Lee will go first and Steve will go second.
Okay. All right. Fire it up, Lee.
Well, Steve kind of threw me a curveball. Like, pick somebody who you think's going to shine. I think the Bucks offense will absolutely explode, Ira. They will explode for 24 points. They will explode. They will win 24-20. Who will blow up for the Bucks on Monday night? Well, I'm taking the advice from none other than foot rubbing Rob Gronkowski. Gronk said it's January, it's the playoffs, it's time for playoff Lenny.
Nice. What do you got, Steve?
I got to keep it real, Ira. Unfortunately, I do not see the Bucks winning this game. It wouldn't be shocked if they did. I mean, I agree with Mark Dominic that there's enough talent here. But Dallas has tripped up a little bit, but the Bucks have tripped up all season. I mean, I just can't ignore that. I just don't want to I want to believe, but I just can't believe that they're going to be able to flip a switch that they should have flipped in October and then in November and then in December again that they just couldn't do. I mean, Dallas, I did watch that game last week. Dallas looked terrible. But previous weeks, I mean, they put 40 on the Eagles, you know, a few weeks ago. And there was a lot of uproar when they lost to Jacksonville in overtime. But, you know, Jacksonville's good. It was coming on. And they still put 30-something up on them. They've put a lot of points on the board. And I just think that the Bucks' inconsistency is going to be a little worse than Dallas's here. So I'm going to go with the better offense in the playoffs, and I'm going Dallas 24, Bucks 20.
And who's going to star for the Cowboys, Steve?
Parsons. I think they're going to have a really hard time with him, and he'll be moved around, and Dan Quinn will do different things with him, and they'll make enough plays, maybe a pick or two on Brady. You know, I'm going to go with the Dallas defense doing enough.
Guys, I got to be up front with you. Lee, this team has confounded me all year. I've had a lot of trouble picking these Buck games. I've had a lot more success in other years than this crazy year. Lee, before the year started, I thought they'd win 11 games. They ended up winning 8. That's not even close. So I've had problems trying to judge this team. When I pick them to win, they lose, and vice versa. Lee, we're going to throw out the Atlanta game. Forget that one. But I have had trouble. I mean, I picked the Panthers to beat them, Lee. I did. And for a while, I thought that was going to happen. I'm picking the Bucks. Not so much from a Buck perspective, but I think the Dallas vibe is terrible. I think it stinks. And I'm not sure they're mentally tough enough, especially Prescott. A lot of pressure on the visitors, America's team. Jerry Jones, Lee, he just doesn't shut up. He just doesn't shut up, Lee.
I love it.
And the pressure's building. I know they're favored as visitors. I think Dallas will implode. I think the star of the game will be Antoine Winfield, in my opinion. I think he's going to get a pick, and I think they'll have a tip ball that leads to another pick. Lee, Dak Prescott has one playoff win in his life. One. Tom Brady's got 35. I don't think I need to say more than that. I'm going with the Bucks, 24-17. And in the words of Bill Belichick, it's on to San Francisco, which is a whole nother story. But, Lee, for this weekend, I think the Bucks advance.
All right, how come you hate Jerry Jones? You're in the media. He gives you things to write about. Well, would you rather have Joel Glazer not return your calls? Come on now.
I mean, it's funny you bring that up, Lee. I was telling somebody, I think I was mentioning it to Rondé Barber the other day. Could you have a more dichotomy between the ownership groups? The Glazers say absolutely zero, whether they're talking about Manchester United or the Bucks. They don't talk. You can't get to them. And here's Jones, you know, after games. Lee, did you know that during regular season games, Mike McCarthy has his press conference and Jones has his own press conference?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sage, wait, real quick, Sage, I don't want to throw the game away real quick because I think there's a couple of interesting elements here. You know, I mean, I hope you're right, Ira, because you uplifted me a little bit after I gave my pick. I slumped in my chair, and I'll be cheering like heck for the Bucks to win. But, you know, Mike McCarthy, he's got 10 playoff wins. Todd Bowles has nothing. And 10 playoff wins, if you rank it in NFL history, that's up there, Ira, in the total. You know, I mean, this is a very experienced coach with a very experienced coaching staff. Do you think that matters here?
No. players play, and players are going to win this game. And you can take McCarthy and you can shove him. I got Tom Brady, 35-12.
I was listening to a Jimmy Trenias podcast, the media podcast, Sports Illustrated. He had Aikman on. And Trina asked Aikman, he goes, hey, if the Bucks win, is McCarthy, what's it going to be like in Dallas for McCarthy? And Troy Aikman busted out laughing. That was his answer. He busted out laughing. And then Trina asked him, well, come on now. Jerry Jones gave him a
vote of confidence.
Yeah. And Aikman said, I've heard Jerry Jones say a lot of things over the years. And 2 minutes later, he says something different. I'm putting no stock in that.
You know, and Steve, speaking of that directly, the shadow of Sean Payton, it's just hanging over a lot of franchises. And Dallas is one of them. You know, depending on what Payton thinks of Prescott and whether Payton wants to go into that Dallas fishbowl. But Payton's well familiar with the franchise. America's
work
team.
Work for him.
Yeah.
He lived there too, doesn't he?
To me, McCarthy's job security. I don't care what Jerry Jones says. If they don't show up Monday night, Steve, he could very well make a change.
How cool would it be that if the Bucks upset Dallas, which they're underdog, they upset Dallas, and because of that, Jerry Jones runs Mike McCarthy? How cool would that be? And you make sure that Sean Payton's out of the NFC South.
Wouldn't be a bad thing, Steve. Wouldn't be bad.
All right, Ira, chill the big storm beer. And Monday night, it's going to feel like forever till it gets here, Ira, but we're excited. We're fired up. We hope that you are right, that Lee is right, and that I am dead wrong, and we're not doing a post-mortem podcast. And that's it, Ira. Final word, final salute to the fans?
Well, here's what I expect from you two gentlemen at the moment. I want your best wishes in support of that 8-hour Zoom call, which will happen next week. And I want you boys wishing me the best of luck here.
8 hours on the Zoom. I'd rather be in a dentist chair for 4 hours.
My blessing to you will be do the smart thing. Set up a Zoom call with somebody at the Bucks the day before. Test your equipment. Make sure the lighting looks good. Because that's all factors in when people are looking at you on the screen. So you got to do a test run, Ira, or you've jilted the fans.
Steve, should I have Cosmo in my arms when I'm doing the Zoom call?
Just have your shirt off, Ira.
Nicely done, Steve.